Hey everyone, Great All here. Just a quick intro before the show starts. It didn't occur to me recording this episode, but next Tuesday, which would be our next show, episode 8, is of course Christmas Eve, and the Tuesday after that is New Year's Eve. Suffice it to say, there will not be shows those days. Jason and I will be taking some time off to spend with friends and family and whatnot. So be sure to tune in 2014, January 7th. That will be our next show of the new year, of course. So whatever you choose to celebrate during the holiday season, enjoy it. Enjoy your time spent with friends and family. And if you're up for it, stick around after the show where we will play a quick little Christmas Carol Batman Arkham Origin style. Thanks again for listening, everyone. Happy holidays.
The following is a remastered version of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Hello everyone, welcome to episode 7 of the Pulse Gamecast. I am your host, Graydoll.
And I'm Jason.
Jason's back from, as he's calling it, the great outage of 13. So electronics have been replaced and interwebs are back up and Jay's back with us. So as we do every week, Jay, since you're back, why don't you tell us what you've been up to?
Well, for that little bit, it was mostly just smoke signals. We stretched a can next door to my friend and got Wi-Fi.
Right. No,
it was pretty pitiful, but truthfully speaking, I did get to play a little bit of some of those games that I got on Steam, and I got to play some Skyrim, not much, enjoying it, loving it, and the other thing that I did was I downloaded a new game called Talisman, which we can talk about later if you want to.
Okay.
That was about it for me.
Okay. I've actually played very, very little SWTOR the past week. I found on Origin, EA's game store, that Mass Effect 3 was cheap, and you know I talked about this last episode. So I haven't bought any of the other DLCs yet that I was missing, Leviathan and the Citadel. So I'm still playing kind of the primary storyline campaign. If you're familiar with Mass Effect 3, the storyline, I've just landed on T'Chanka, and I'm about to start everything that you do on that. So, kind of a big point in the story, and some things are about to happen that a lot of Mass Effect fans do not like. But that's where I'm at. Let's see. Also, as I have discovered, I had to remember, I had this in the show notes. As I said last week, I bought Genesis 2, the DLC for Mass Effect 3, which gives you the story and all the choices of Mass Effect 1 and 2, and allows you to carry those choices over to Mass Effect 3. Well, as I have discovered, and am kind of bummed about, Genesis 2 does not take into account Katsumi from Mass Effect 2. It doesn't take into account Zaid. Nor does it take into account the Overlord DLC. That's where the AI is unshackled, you know, and you discover... And it's not a spoiler, because it's been out for 4 years now, where you discover David. So, I'm starting a Mass Effect 3 game with all the choices, and I'm missing out on those three big things from coming into Mass Effect 3. It kind of bums me out, actually. I'm really considering just going back, replaying 2, so I can get all those people brought in with me. But anyways, that's primarily what I've been doing. I have played a little bit of WoW. Not too much. One of our Holosuite staffers, Dion Soul, some of you know from various shows, he has a guild, Alliance Guild. I joined that, and I've been playing a tune over there. It's a Horde, not Alliance. Horde Guild, and then also Blacklace, who does our intros and outros. I've been playing a tune in her Alliance Guild. So that'll about close us up on our intros. Let's jump right into the news. Jason, you said you wanted to talk about space combat. You want to do that now? Okay, go ahead.
I didn't know. I know you said you hadn't played a lot, but I know it's been a couple of weeks since Space Combat had opened up, and I didn't know if a whole bunch of our listeners have been playing any. But I've been trying to some time logged in there. You know, obviously it's PvP, so you got to queue up for it. But with the tier ships, you know, you got the scout and then the strike fighter, and then you got the sniper, the multiplayer. I'm guessing that it's a sniper, basically.
Right.
And I haven't tried the sniper yet, not going to lie to you, but after trying a lot of the scout and strike fighters with the maps that they currently have, unless they change the way the maps are really set up, and I'm going to bounce this off of you real fast here, I'm really leaning towards the scout fighter to get you into combat quickly, to get to the snag and grab points, knock out the, because they have the pods initially rather than the lock-on missiles. Knocking out those turrets and capturing points faster. It seems like they're a lot more useful. The strike fighters don't have that much unless you're really utilizing your companions and you have your setup built a certain way. The strike fighters don't seem as useful to my gameplay style. And as such, my fleet requisition points aren't really getting up there. But yet, oddly enough, I wasn't into my second day of combat, and I'm seeing people with five ships other than the first three starters. Is that what you saw?
Well, yeah. I mean, they put ships out on the cartel market, so you can buy them. I mean, I guess if people are just 24/7 in the PvP, and I don't know how they're doing it. That's the only thing I can think of is they're buying the ships.
Yeah, because I did the math on that, and I've played just in my first. I wanted to quick time it. Basically, I was going to set a baseline just to see what I could do here, because you know your numbers crunchers love doing this. I ran three missions as fast as I could get into the queues. Two of the missions my team won, and one they didn't. And none of them was I the top ranked player, and that's just fine. You guys blow me out of the sky anytime you see me. I don't have a problem with that. But in that amount of time, I got just a little over 300 requisition, I think. Or just actually a little under 300 requisition, I want to say. So if you're getting roughly 50 to 100 requisition per, and you can convert that using real money to fleet requisition, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying here, it's cheaper just to go ahead and buy the ships in the long run than it is to work for them, because it seems to me at like 15,000 requisition, it's going to take you a while to get that Thunderbolt or that Black Bolt, right? Now, right? Am I wrong there?
Yeah.
So
no,
looking,
no, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so we're looking at what, say, if you get lucky and play, say, 10 tournaments a day on all winning teams, you know, it's not really that hard, but that's 150 minutes minimum, not including the wait time. So you're talking about 3 hours a day, right?
Mm-hmm.
3 hours a day minimum playing nothing but PvP and converting that requisition, then you're looking at what? That's 1,000. That's 15 days. So 15 times 3, that's 30 hours. Am I wrong there?
Right. But, you know, the thing about that is your wreck is actually, your shipwreck is actually, your ship requisition that you gain is actually based on your level. So your 55s that are jumping in are pulling a lot more wreck than, like me, I have a level 1 I've started just to do Galactic Starfighter. So your 55s are pulling it down, whereas...
Really? Because...
Oh, yeah.
And that's,
yeah,
that's weird, because both mine were 25s, so it's possible I'll be pulling almost double that requisition. I'm guessing that.
Yeah.
So it would take me only 15 hours then.
That's right.
Instead of 30. What was I thinking? That's crazy of me.
Well, that is, but remember also that it's not quite as Twitch-based as you would think, with the whole having to lead people and you lead your shots and whatnot. But, you know, if you get someone who who's really good at it and they pull in the full... 20 medals or whatever, you know, that's even more additional rec they get. So, you know, really good level 55, well, I don't know.
Might knock it down to 6 or 7 hours of playing.
Right, right.
I'm not being sarcastic here, really. Can you not hear that in my voice?
I'm just saying.
I don't want to go ahead and spend the 1,800 cartel points to get the Black Bolt. I really don't. So that's all I wanted to throw out there. In a way, I'm happy with it. It's a lot of fun. I do like dodging in and out of the obstacles in the scout ship. I like the fact that basically it's a grudge match because you can lock on to the last guy who killed you, which is also fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do like the fact that there's some defined roles. But other than that, until it's been around a little while and the seasoning's kind of blended into the meat, and I'm not going to see how swapping out, because there's quite a lot of pods and crew changes that you have optionaled out.
Yeah.
Until that happens, I don't know, boss. What do you think?
Well, it's kind of like that. Well, 55s, we'll just say 55 because it's max level. I'm going to say 50. 50s, I think, have an advantage over everyone because by 50, you have all of your companions. And, of course, there are out-of-the-box cookie-cutter companions for every ship, but if you have unlocked your storyline, your class companions, you can substitute them. And they are, of course, better at whatever it is they do on your ship than the out-of-box, you know, cardboard cutout guys. So, yeah, your level 50s will have an advantage. You know, they can also... I think you actually spend cartel coins. Well, no. You can buy weapon upgrades, I think, with your fleet wreck. So, you know, there again, if you have the fleet wreck, if you have a lot of cartel coins... I'm not saying it's pay to win. But your higher level toons do have an advantage over you. A slight one. But, you know, it is there. And like Jay said, it's fun. I enjoy it. I haven't played a sniper either, even though that's usually my preferred class in most, MOBA-type games that I play. Of course, Team Fortress 2, I love the sniper. But just on that subject of SWTOR and Galactic Starfighter, I heard something today that I want to point out. Is if you are a completionist and if you are going after achievements in SWTOR, if you buy the cartel ships, the cartel coin, cartel market ships, you cannot complete some of those achievements in those ships, just be advised. For instance, one of the achievements is to gain mastery in your ship. You know, you upgrade the weapons, the blah, 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 the this and that. And, of course, your cartel ships already come with that. So just as a heads up, if you're working on achievements for Galactic Starfighter, stick to the ships you were given and don't use the cartel ships. Let's move on into news. In keeping with the SWTOR theme, today, December 17th, marks the beginning of Life Day in SWTOR, and also the GREE event. The GREE event is... yeah, Wookiee Life Day. The GREE event is back as well. Life Day stuff can be done by level 10. Levels 10 to 55, of course. But the GREE event takes place on Ilum, and you must be 50, I think, to even get there. So,
wow.
Yeah, so, you know, that means I will not be participating in the GREE event because I obviously don't have a max level tune.
That is the bounty hunter thing already over with?
Yes, that actually ended today at 2 a.m. Yep.
Oh, well.
Yep, I believe it officially ended at 2, which is when they started server maintenance, i.e. preloading the patch for today, so... Well, you know, that is a reoccurring event, I think, every month, so, you know, it'll be here before we know it. If you're interested in participating in the Life Day events, you can see the Master
you're
of Ceremonies.
Sick.
Huh? Do what?
I said you're sick.
Well, you know, I'll check it out. Honestly, I didn't try it last year, so I'll see. Here's the thing. I logged on for a few minutes before the show, and I was getting pelted left and right with snowballs on the fleet, of the Republic fleet. So go see the Master of Ceremonies on the fleet. Buy your snowballs. Every time you throw one, you get a chance to unlock a snow-covered parcel. And supposedly there are things in there, you know, to whatever, little toys or whatnot. They actually have a mount. And I don't honestly don't know where you get the mount from, but it's called, like, the Slay 1. you know, Rimshot, but dum-dum-ch.
Bumps.
Like Santa's sleigh, but also I guess that's a play on Boba Fett's slave one. But it's, I don't know the type of speeder it is, but it's one of those, it looks almost like a motorcycle, but it's got, like a trike, but it's got the big pods that stick out of the back, forming like kind of a capital letter T. And it's red, and it has presents on it. So
nice.
So that's one of the big rewards.
The more important thing to remember here is that when you participate in Wookiee Life Day, you're irritating the dog crap out of George Lucas, who wants everyone to forget he ever made that special. So if you really want to be part of the Star Wars community and feel like you're belonging, go do it and just go Merry Christmas to George.
Hmm. Well, you know, George had his say for 40 years, but he sold it out, so deal with it. Let's see. Also, the 20th, which is, what, 3 days from now? That'll be Friday. Yep. Marks SWTOR's 2-year anniversary. I think this is kind of weak, personally. Everyone who logs in will be given a paint job for your scout ships for Galactic Starfighter, and you'll also be given faction-specific fireworks. Now, actually, these have already been delivered. I got mine today. Well, you know, if you're a subscriber and you log in, you'll get the paint jobs for your scout ships, and I imagine whether you're free-to-play or preferred, you'll still get the fireworks. Now, when your particular payment method shows up, i.e. if you're a preferred player in January or a free-to-play player in February, when your Galactic Starfighter opens up, you'll receive the paint job. So, there you go. My opinion, that's kind of a weak...
Not the kind of weak job sauce. You're looking for.
Well, I mean, that's just kind of weak sauce for an anniversary. You know, at the very least, I would expect a pet. I don't think that's too much to ask.
Little Tauntaun.
Well, you know, there's a lot of Tauntauns out there already. You know, I have the the Tauntaun Ram from when Legacy went live, and then there's the Tauntauns from Hoth, the getting your Tauntaun
snow
mount.
Monster.
Yeah,
snow
like
monster.
A Wampa.
That would have been cool.
Yeah,
that thing
Wampa.
That attacked Luke, yeah.
Uh-huh, Wampa. That would be cool. That would be cool. You know, something like that. You know, I know it's kind of the big groan-inducing elephant in the room, but, you know, wow, almost every year they have an anniversary, you get a pet. I'm just saying, BioWare, come on. But, yeah, jump in the SWTOR, check out some of those ongoing events, and join the fun.
Yay.
So, I want to talk about an MMO that I found on Kickstarter, and then I'm going to let Jay fill you in on something that he found. This, I don't understand it. As a man, let's not even say that, as a boy, I don't get this. There's a Kickstarter there's a Kickstarter project right now for an MMO called Ever Jane. As in E-V-E-R, comma, Jane. This is a Jane Austen MMO. So, let that sink in for a minute. A Jane Austen MMO. You know, Wuthering Heights and all that stuff. There's a lady in Colorado who is starting this game. And you can actually go to the Kickstarter. We'll include a link in the show notes. You can download what is essentially the client and kind of the one of the towns right now. You can't really play it. You can't do much with it except look at it. So if you're like me, you're thinking, what in the world do you do in a Jane Austen MMO?
Same
you attend
Capitol Hill.
You talk.
And
I mean
why?
That's and why. The primary purpose of the game, and it changes, which is kind of neat. It changes whether you're a male or female character. The purpose of the game is social interaction. If you're either sex, you will attend balls. You know, tea parties. your primary weapon is gossip. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not lying. This is taken from the video. This is from the Kickstarter site. You are there in, what is that, like Elizabethan or Victorian period.
Regency period.
Regency period. This is what you do. You talk smack about someone, another player, to try and get their social rating down while raising yours up. You'll travel around. One of the mini games you'll do is write correspondence to another player. And I guess depending on how flowery and period your language is, you'll gain extra experience points, I guess. One of the things they talk about is if you are a female character, you will have to abide by some of the more social limitations of the time. You will not be able to be the head of a family. That's what they call their guilds. You will not be able to receive inheritance. You will not be able to own land. At a dance or a ball, you will have to wait to be asked by a man before you can dance.
That's right.
This is so weird. Like I said, not even as a man, just as a boy. I can't wrap my head around this. Now, I think for the most part, the game will be free to play. But you're going to be extremely limited on what you can do. Subscription plans for this, and this is a monthly monthly subscription, range from $5 to $50 a month. So for $5, I think you get like a couple character slots. I think you gain the ability at $5 you can actually join you can have a job, essentially. You can be like a farmer. And they just go up from there. Now, $50 a month, you're royalty. You're given a title. You're given an entire town to run. I think they said they're even going to, with a stretch goal, throw in servants that you will have run your manor house. $50 a month. Yeah, and that, you know what? I think that's what it is, honestly. Is they're trying to cash in on the Downton Abbey craze. I've never seen an episode, but I know about it. I know it's out there. And I think that's exactly what it is. I think that's what it is.
And can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
Okay, honestly, and this is just me throwing this out here. I know you said you couldn't wrap your head around that. Did you check the pledge and backers list? I can't wrap my head around that.
Like, how many people have already Kickstarted?
Yeah, someone already Kickstarted $10,000.
Yeah, yeah. The awards, you know, for the like that, for the dollar amounts. I mean, if you're into this game, the rewards are pretty cool. But good grief, and this is funny. I was looking at this, and one of my sisters is just so. Not anti-technology, but she, my sister was definitely born in the wrong century. You know, Jane Austen is her favorite author. And, my sister has decorated her house to look like, you know, the dark green and wood paneling type of stuff. You know, I guess if you have a bookwormish girlfriend, boyfriend that you want to get into gaming, well, here's your gateway right here. I guess this is a good start.
Never thought of it like that.
All right. Let's move on.
Yeah.
This is weird.
You hit something here. You hit something there. You really need to stick on that. He's right. Look, you can't get your girlfriend to play EverQuest, right? You can't get your girlfriend to play Secret World because she's like zombies. But yet you want her to interact. She's sitting in the front room while you're in the back playing. She's watching Downton Abbey. You're in here hacking up zombies or blowing people out of the sky. Buy her the $10 a month thing, $14 a month. Let her play and wait till she just comes talking and tries to get you into it. At that point, then you say, I've been trying to get you to play my games too, honey. I tell you what, I'll open up a free-to-play account here and you come play my free-to-play. We'll come
right.
Even.
Oh, crap. Ugh. Extend your pinky. Extend your pinky. That's going to be what raids are like in Everjane. Your teacup. Extend the pinky.
No.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome. Alrighty. In kind of keeping with the Kickstarter theme, Jay found a neat little thing on Steam. You want to tell us about it?
Oh, yeah. Steam has sort of like their own Kickstarter. A lot of people may or may not be familiar with it. Under Steam Powered, they have a thing called Early Access Games. And basically, a lot of these were at one point Kickstarters, believe it or not, that have made it onto Steam. Now they have either they are subscription-based at this point, or they're going to be soon, and you can just sort of buy into early access. And I know some people was it you who said that, Gray, about you're basically paying for a beta is what you're doing.
Right.
And I can understand that, but some of these are worth it. And earlier I mentioned that I had gotten Talisman. Anyone who's anyone, and I'm sorry, but if you have been into role playing in the last 20 years, at some point you've heard someone say, well, let's whip out the Talisman board and play a game. It was granddaddy of all RPG board games.
Right.
It's just, anyway, point being, you can go dig around. It's still around. I think Black Library, or is it Fantasy Flight?
Well, I think actually Fantasy Flight is releasing it now.
Yeah, Fantasy Flight is releasing it now. So they released it. I think it's in its fifth edition now, I think. Don't quote me on that.
It's in its
fifth edition. And you can buy the initial game for like $60. You can get it on Amazon for $40. It's not really that bad. But that's the initial thing. The thing was is it was built where you could have expansions. And a single game can go on for weeks if you play it correctly with multiple players. But the point being is, this is what I'm not really, dragging out Talisman here itself, but the actual publisher of Talisman Games said, well, we need to make a digital edition. People want to play this. So what did they do? They brought it out on Steam and they said, let's go ahead and give early access for multiplayer and we'll give a single player away for it for free. So for $14.95, I purchased a 1-4 seat version where you play it locally. And I've heard that you can play multiplayer. I haven't tried that yet. But you play 1-4 local, and you also have a single-player version. And it is a faithful reproduction of the game. I'm really impressed with it. There's still a few bugs. I think we talked about it, right? Like the mercenaries. Yeah. Is that right, Gray?
Right, yeah.
So basically, the game is completely worth checking out. I think they have a demo that you can take a look at. You can go to their site and take a look at it. But what was interesting was that it following the same thing as the Kickstarter rules. The more money we pump into it, the faster it gets completed, and the sooner we see a finished product, and you have some input into it. So it's a really good idea, same as Kickstarter, same reasons I push Kickstarter. It's just basically you're paying for early beta. But it's the full game. It hasn't been crippled in any way. It's a full representation of the game. It works on Steam. It was a flawless install. And overall, I'm extremely happy with it. So if anyone out there is a Talisman person, plus there's some other games out there if you like. Ubisoft is pushing one called Epic Loot, the quest for Epic Loot, which is like a dungeon. If you took the gaming style of Team Fortress, which is tongue-in-cheek, overlaid it to Dungeon Keeper, and then all you care about is showing your bling off that you get from each other's, dungeons to other people, if that's your thing, which, I hate to say it, but that's a lot of this generation coming up. You guys love showing off that bling. This is the game for you. Just the intro enough will make you giggle if you watch it. So I highly suggest you check out that too. But there's so many games out there on early access. It's a portion worth checking out. So go ahead and take a look at that.
Yeah, it the more I look at it, that the 8-bit MMO.
Oh yeah, the 8-bit. Man, I completely forgot that. You want to go ahead and talk about that?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Wow, I got so off on my tangent there. 8-bit MMO. 8-bit MMO is another early access. It is on Steam as well. 8-bit MMO is a completely player-generated world. And when I mean player-generated world, much like, say, Second Life, they built an island and said, here's the tools, you guys build it. And so you've got all these people out here in a top-down 2D for lack of a better term, Zelda / Final Fantasy / Dragon Quest, the early 8-bit games that we all played on NES. That's what it is. And these people are building worlds, adventures, towns, everything that you would do when you go play a game, but it's all player built. And if it's so interesting because you're thinking, oh, well, what could you do with a player built world? Since it doesn't require much space, oh my God, they zoomed into just the area created by the initial people who started the game, and they started zooming out to show you how big the world is that they've set up so that people can play. It was like this huge city was like a speck, a little bitty speck in this huge world.
Yeah.
So you could go anywhere. You could go off in the wilderness, build your place, and then people could eventually find you. So I think it's interesting. A Founders Pack's only $9.99 for 2100 GP, 15 PP. That's pretty awesome. And the Founders Pack Deluxe is, $19.99 for 540, 46 PP. Two hats. And the hats are what's really cool because your character wears the different hats. That's pretty cool. Did you see that?
I did. I saw him putting on the different hats.
That was so cool. I'm sorry, but that's like a fashion show in 8-bit. I mean, you know, I'm too sexy for my Merlin hat. So, it took me back to the old 8-bit Dungeons & Dragons game where you made your Azure Bonds, Curse of the Azure Bonds. Mm-hmm. The only way you could tell your wizards apart were the color of their hats.
Right, yeah.
So, but I was really stoked about it. Did you actually take a look at it?
I did. So, to me, what it reminds me of... One second, I got to sneeze. Oh, live shows. So, what it looks like to me is... Picture Gauntlet. And that's what it looks like to me, Gauntlet. But in a, like Jay said, player-created town, dungeon, whatever... Now, that's one thing I don't quite know, or maybe I haven't seen it yet. So, it's an MMO, there'll be classes or something like that, I guess. You know, the video just kind of shows the guy walking around and shooting little, you know, dots out, killing the things. I'm assuming if there are classes, that will look different, or...
it's class-based, and right now it's only PvP. They've only implemented the PvP portion at the moment.
Oh, for the early access.
For the early access, you're killing other players at this point. But no, just go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, it was a live show, and believe it or not, I hiccuped. So.
Oh. Nice. Got some editing to do. Yeah, it looks like I said, Gauntlet, you're shooting your little things. I'm assuming that since you build and create, there'll be a gathering component to it as well, whether you're mining or chopping down trees or whatever. It does look neat, and like Jay said, the map is huge, and we've got a link in the show notes, you can check it out. If that, and I'm assuming that map is the entire world, and just that one little town is that piece of it, then the game essentially is huge, and I'm assuming there'll be some kind of mount or traveling system, I hope. Otherwise, your little 8-bit dude is going to take forever to go anywhere.
It is muy grande.
Yeah, it is. Alrighty, let's move on to... let's see here. We've got a release date for ESO, Elder Scrolls. Oh, okay. Here's a little thing. Interrupt that one. An hour ago, Chris Roberts, we talked about him with the Star Citizen, has delayed the dogfighting module.
No.
He didn't quite say why, but he is delaying it. This is the module that would allow you to actually jump in your ship and take it for a spin. So remember we talked about it on one of the shows, they had the hangar module where you can walk out and look at your ships and see what you've kickstarted, what you've pre-ordered. The dogfight would allow you to actually get out there and fly them around. But that has been delayed till sometime in 2014, and they are pushing still for a 2015 public, you know, full-on release. So, breaking news. But let's see here. ESO, Elder Scrolls Online, has set a date of 4/4/14. This will be a PC and Mac release. I'm sure if it's anything like Skyrim, which I'm sure it is, it'll be graphically intensive. You'll probably have to have a pretty decent GPU and or processor and some good RAM to run this thing. Well, I mean, if you're a Skyrim fan, then then here's your game. We're in the final stages.
That one's going to be isn't it going to be subscription based?
Yeah, it is going to be subscription based. It will be subscription based. The standard 15 a month or whatever.
For the first 3 months, and then it'll become free to play.
Yeah, probably. Well, you know, Skyrim was so freaking popular that I don't think there'll be any. I don't think it'll go free to play for a while. I really don't. I mean, you know, you and I have talked about Skyrim players who are still playing. I've told you about my friend who is still playing Skyrim. And I think a lot of these people who have maxed out their tunes, who have explored every single mountain and looked behind every single tree, to actually have an online world where there is a lot more to do, I think ESO is going to really take off. And it's not going to be WoW level. I don't think anything will ever be WoW level again. But I don't think they will be hurting for money. And in all honesty, I would love to see it go free to play, just because I'm turning into a cheap codger the older I get. But who knows? Who knows? We'll see. Let's see here. Let's move on. Oh, you have something from VG Charts, Jay?
Yeah, actually, I was kind of pleasantly surprised to see some swapping up going on. I didn't know if you'd checked it out, but fans of the Gran Turismo series will be happy to note that globally they are sitting on top of the charts at 852,000 sold at the moment. Now, obviously, most of those are in Japan, with 200,000 of them being sold in Japan. But considering between 200,000 and 800,000 is about 600,000, USA and Europe are keeping them in the top 10. That being number two currently in the USA, only beaten out by Ghosts this month. And that's as December 7th. And Europe being number one. So, Gran Turismo 6, heavy, heavy showing. Biggest showing since Call of Duty. Either Ghosts, you know, either platform. And making its second debut, like Rocky Balboa, who can't be kept out of the ring, Pokemon XY is back on the charts again. Again, pleasantly surprised. They're holding number five global, with this time showing up at number eight in the U.S. They weren't even on there earlier, and knocking Battlefield 4 out of its position. So that's actually pretty impressive. they knocked. The only thing beating them out over there is Just Dance 2014. Yeah, I'm going to leave that at that, okay?
Right.
I mean, it's pretty bad. I look like an epileptic holding a bunch of Mexican jumping beans when I try to play that game, so that's pretty bad. however, again, I think over in Japan it's called Pocket Monsters, number three still. So no big surprise there, but if you're a Gran Turismo, you better go buy it now, because right now the multiplayer is getting beat up, people. Beat up.
Alrighty, one more little bit of breaking-ish news. Fantasy Flight has announced a new expansion for Talisman. Yep. For Talisman Revised 4th Edition. I guess that's the current incarnation of the board game. Yep. This is called the Firelands expansion. And looks like it kind of has the same feel for it, for Talisman, of course, event cards and whatnot. But just a quick cursory glance, looks like there are new classes to play. For instance, one they talk about is the Warlord, who has a strength of 4 and a craft of 3, 4 life, and 2 fate. Yeah, so, okay.
Not bad.
Yeah, you start off in the ruins and you are evil. Let's see, for the Warlord, when you encounter a follower, you may immediately conscript it. Okay, well, that's cool, so I guess you don't have to pay for it. That's awesome. Take the follower as a conscripted follower, even if you normally could not take it. I guess that applies to alignment.
Yep.
So that's cool. Okay. Whenever you defeat another character in battle, you may take one of his followers as a conscripted follower in addition to the normal reward. Oh, man. I really hope that the game, the digital version, the Steam version, takes off, and I hope they start adding in all these expansions, because I know there's a ton of expansions for Talisman already.
Oh, yeah, I mean, we're probably sitting at least 8, I think, already that I know of.
So. Yeah, it's crazy. There's a ton of them. Well, let's just flow right into geeky stuff then. As I said on last week's show, just a little recap here, the Knights of the Dinner Table, Jolly Blackburn and Ken Whitman's D20 Entertainment project of the live version of the Knights of the Dinner Table comic book. We're 50 days out on it. It is still up and running. One second here, and I will actually check the amount right now.
No, too much.
Yep. Well, let's see. We have 50 days left on it, 268 backers. We're at 17,173 out of 60,000, out of 60K
nice.
Needed.
What's the stretch goal?
Oh, there's all kinds of stretch goals. And I talked about this last week, but they include MP3s of the characters' catchphrases from the comics. Like one of the guys always plays a mage. So his catchphrase is, you know, fireball coming online. Or Dave, who always plays fighters, I want a big-ass sword. to even Jolly Blackburn, who created the comic and created the Hackmaster RPG, one of the final stretch goals is you will get a copy of the adventure that he has written specifically for the series. So you'll be able to play the same adventure they're playing in the show at home with a Hackmaster game rules set. So yeah, that's where we stand. 268 backers, 50 days left to go, and like, what is that? The $43,000 still left. So
that's still not bad.
It's not bad. It's not bad. I mean, you know, it's only been what, 10 days, and they've already gotten 17 grand. So pass the word if you're a Jolly Blackburn, Hackmaster, or KODT fan. And I just lost my show notes. There we go. Let's see here. let's see. That's one bit of news. Jay, you put in the show notes something about a holiday tradition. You want to tell us what that is?
Well, I'm going to kind of segue that in. Drive-Through RPG, who I always like to give my props to because they're so tight with Wizards of the Coast in giving out the PDF for versions of all the games that we love at the dinner table. Or at the library or wherever you've been banished to play these games with your friends.
Yeah.
They're really, really awesome. So anytime they have a sale, I try to, you know, pump them. Drive-Thru RPG is having a Christmas sale, but that's not why I was going for it. What I was going for it was that they have a Ghosts of Christmas Past. Basically, it's a spin on the whole Ghost of Christmas Past, Ghost of Christmas Present, Ghost of
Christmas
Future.
Carol.
Yeah, the Christmas Carol. I didn't want to throw it out there for copyright infringement.
Oh, no, it's public domain.
Okay, we're good then. throwing out the Christmas Carol, they have a Fat Dragon Games has produced some stuff on that. I don't want to call it an adventure per se, since everyone knows it. It's not technically an adventure,
right.
But it's for Dungeons and Dragons, and my family, oddly enough, has decided. I married a woman who her father used to take her to cons when she was a kid, so she was kind of indoctrinated. Poor girl, God bless her, and I love her. But we ended up having three kids, and although all my kids are very into sports and, you know, into church and doing other things, the point is none of them have anything against Dungeons and Dragons. So I was like, man, you know, I'd really like to just hang out and play some D&D during Christmas. And my son goes, why don't we have a Christmas adventure? And God bless you, Tiny Tim, for coming up with that. Because let me tell you, the family took to it like ducks to water. They were like, oh, Christmas night, we could all sit around and we'll all just play ourselves and we'll try to save Christmas. So basically I have a Grinch kind of whole adventure going on there where they have to go get back all the presents and stuff like that. So it's a new holiday tradition for my family. Apparently I'm going to be coming up with a new one every year. But I just thought it was something that you guys might be able to, out there who are waiting for the geeky portion of our show, that's something we need to concentrate on. This is the holiday time when everyone's concentrating on being together. And, you know, don't leave out your friends. Go see your family. If you have a friend who doesn't have family or something like that, invite your friends together and get together and share some of this Christmas bounty or some of the holiday bounty with them and play some games. You know, have fun. And there's so so many things that you could incorporate into your game that give it that holiday feel, that make people laugh, and it will be something to remember. And to me, that's what the holiday seasons are about. That's what you take away from it into the next year, puts you in a good mood and get you going on, you know, for the next season, you know, because now we all got to lose weight afterwards. So, but that's my holiday tradition. I figured I'd throw that out there for everybody. A new one.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I was thinking about that. You know, you can, you know, I know some parents who want to get their kids into role-playing but don't want to expose them just yet to the hacking, maiming, dismemberment that is D&D and adventuring. Well, you know, like this, your little kid can play like a magician's apprentice. Instead of hurling fireballs, he hurls snowballs.
Snowballs, exactly. Cantrips, yeah. And that's what Gabe's going
right.
to be using.
Right. You know, you can always do the classic, I want to be a fighter. You know, well, you know, you're... instructor at the Warriors Academy, he gave you a foam sword, so you know, you just kind of, or a roll of wrapping paper or something, that's his yeah. his sword, something like that. So good times to be had by all, because soon enough they'll get to the as
zombies
and as Jolly Blackburn and Hackmaster refers to it, torch to the crotch information gathering method. So they'll get there soon enough. All right, so lots of good stuff on tonight's show. Be sure to check out our sister podcast about other games out there, Beyond the Veil, dealing with the secret world, Tribbles in Ecstasy, XTC, dealing with Star Trek Online. Those shows also have in-game guilds. Beyond the Veil has Beyond the Veil. Tribbles in Ecstasy has Tribbles in Ecstasy and Targs in Ecstasy for the Klingons and the Federation. Our show has an in-game SWTOR guild on the Shadowlands server. We are the Knights of Holosuite. Be sure to check us out.
Woohoo!
Shoot us a tweet or email for an invite.
Or just shoot us.
That's right.
Either way, that works too.
That's right. Just run up and poke us. All right, I guess that will wrap up tonight's show. Thanks a lot for joining us. Black Lace will have information on the way out, how you can get in contact with us, our email and Twitter account. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Have a good one.
Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at the Pulse Gamecast. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to thepulsegamecast@gmail.com.